You're listening to a message from Redemption Community Church, a life-giving church in Westchester County, New York. We pray this message encourages you today. Thanks for listening.
Well, I'm so glad you made it today as we are continuing the series we started last week called I Am. What we're doing in this series is we are looking at Jesus's I Am statements that he made in the Gospel of John. And in these statements, Jesus explains who he was. He tells us who he was and what he came to do on this planet, what his mission was all about. Now, Jesus continues to be the most important human being who has ever lived on planet Earth. Think about it. Yeah, it's so true. Over 2 billion people identify in some way as a Christian, well over 2 billion people. Western civilization has significantly been influenced by Judeo-Christian ethics and values, and we may be drifting from that right now in our present world, but there was no mistake that the mark that Jesus Christ and Christianity has made on Western civilization. In fact, we even keep time according to Jesus' birth. You are living in the year 2024. Hello, welcome. 2024 AD. What does that stand for? Latin for Anno Domini, in the year of our Lord. And of course, the media is obsessed with Jesus. I see images of Jesus on magazine covers quite regularly when I'm at the grocery store, like this example right here from Life magazine. And, you know, the world continues to be fascinated with this question, who was Jesus? And maybe some of you are here today, and that's a question you're asking. You want to know more about who Jesus was. Maybe you're new to faith. Maybe you're exploring faith. Maybe this is your first time back to church in a long time. Maybe this is your first time ever in a Bible teaching church like this, and somebody invited you or somebody shared this broadcast with you and said, check out my church online. And you're just kind of exploring faith. You'd say, Pastor Jeremy, I don't have it all figured out. We're so glad you're here today. You're in the right place. And you can read about a lot of different sources about Jesus, but I would encourage you, start with the Gospels. Each of the Gospels is an account of Jesus' life. I would say start with Jesus in his own words. Let Jesus speak for himself. And so that's what we're doing in this series. Today, we're going to look at Jesus' statement from John chapter 8, verse 12, where he said this, I am the light of the world. I am the light of the world. Now hold that thought for just a moment. Have you ever been somewhere that was so dark you couldn't see your hand in front of your face? Ever been somewhere like that? You know, maybe out camping in the wilderness somewhere or in a really dark place. I've had that experience a few times in life, but I was thinking about the most recent experience. About 2 years ago, me and my son Aaron and my dad, we went over to visit my brother and my sister-in-law in Italy. My brother is a major in the U.S. Army, and he was stationed over there. He's back in the States now, but we wanted to go visit him before he left Italy. And he had these shades on the window of his house because Italy gets really hot during the summer, if you've never been before. I mean, like blazing hot. And so he had these shades over his windows to help keep the house cool during the day. But they would leave them on at night as well. Okay, so no moonlight, no streetlight, nothing, okay? So one night I woke up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom because I'm in my 40s and I rarely make it through the whole night without a visit to the bathroom. Come on, somebody knows what I'm talking about in this place. So I got up and I couldn't see my hand in front of my face. I was disoriented. I mean, the shades were down. Like I said, no streetlight, no moonlight. And you know, I'm not in my own bedroom, so I'm like really not familiar with where I am. And it's kind of terrifying for a moment. I was like stumbling around disoriented until finally I found my phone, thank God, and could turn on the light. If you've ever had that experience, you know what I'm talking about. Here's the point. There is nothing that makes us appreciate the light more than the darkness. Nothing will make you appreciate the light more than the darkness. And the sad reality is that our world is often a dark place. Just put on the news, and what do you hear? Stories of war, natural disasters, crime, people doing terrible things to each other every day. Listen to me, if you're having a really good day and you want to ruin it, just put the news on. It's depressing. Just the other day, I had the news on briefly, and my son Aaron was like, why do you watch that? It's so depressing. And I'm like, you know, you're right. It's so true. And it's not like darkness is just out there. Every one of us, we experience darkness in our own lives at times, don't we? Some of us, it's the darkness of depression and anxiety and stress and broken relationships and loss and sickness. We experience dark times, and people that we love, friends and family who we know experience dark times. Every one of us right now, we probably know someone who's going through a difficult time in life right now. And into the darkness of this world, in the human experience, Jesus steps onto the scene and he claims to be the light. Let's look at this text, John chapter 8, verse 12. It says, Jesus spoke to the people once more and said, I am the light of the world. If you follow me, you won't have to walk in darkness because you will have the light that leads to life. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Now, to understand the significance of Jesus' statement, we need to step into the context in which he originally spoke it. In John chapter 8, Jesus is in Jerusalem for the Feast of Tabernacles. This was a festival that lasted for 8 days, and the whole focus of this festival was to remind the Jewish people of how God provided for their ancestors, how he delivered them from slavery in Egypt, and how he provided for the people and protected their ancestors as they were journeying through the wilderness toward the promised land. Now, the festival included the lighting of 4 huge golden candelabras in the temple court, which was so bright it caused the Temple Mount to glow, and it caused the whole city to be lit up with light. So the temple was on a hill overlooking the city. In fact, you can go to Jerusalem to this day. I've been there for myself. And you can go to the Temple Mount where the ruins of the temple are located. And it's overlooking the city. And so they would light up these huge lamps that would cause the whole Temple Mount to glow and light up that whole portion of the city with this really dramatic light. The lighting of the candles were symbolically designed to remind the people of how God provided for the Israelites, for their ancestors, and led them through the wilderness in a cloud by day and a fire by night. You can read about this in the book of Exodus, chapter 13. It tells us that in the daytime, God's presence manifested itself as a cloud to give the people shade and protection from the blazing desert sun. And then at night, the cloud appeared as a fire because the desert is pitch black at night and cold. And so the fire gave the people warmth and helped them to be able to see as they were journeying through the desert. So in John chapter 8, Jesus has been speaking to the crowds of people who have come out to see this great teacher, this great miracle worker, Jesus of Nazareth. And he's been telling them about his identity. And they've been kind of having this go back and forth discussion about his identity as the Son of God. And against this symbolic backdrop, which I've just described to you, Jesus has the audacity to say to the people gathered at the temple, I am the light of the world. Even as they have just lit up these lights to remind them of the presence of God, which guided and protected their ancestors, Jesus says, I am the light of the world. You no longer have to look backwards to remember the presence of God. I am the presence of God right here, right now in your midst. Very dramatic statement he was making when he claimed to be the light of the world. Jesus was claiming exactly what you think he was claiming. He was claiming to be God. I heard Pastor Tim Keller once say that Jesus Christ is the only founder of a major world religion who claimed to be the sun, who claimed to be the light. Every other founder of other major world religions only claimed to be a moon, to be those who were reflecting the light, reflecting the truth. Think about it. The Buddha, he expounded on the 4 noble truths. He never claimed to be God. Muhammad is known as a prophet, the prophet of Allah. He never claimed to be the God or the Son of God. Jesus Christ is the only founder of a major world religion who actually claimed to be the light, who claimed to be the source of light. Now, many people will say that Jesus was a great moral teacher, a great philosopher, maybe even a great prophet. But if you're going to take Jesus seriously, you have to look at what he claimed about himself. Notice Jesus didn't claim to be a light. Notice Jesus didn't say, I'm one of many lights out there and all the lights lead to the same destination. That is not what Jesus claimed. Jesus claimed to be the light. He claimed to be the exclusive source of spiritual light and truth in this world. Now, the Pharisees understood exactly what Jesus was claiming as he made this audacious, bold statement about being the light of the world against the backdrop of the temple that was lit up with these huge lamps, reminding the people of the presence of God. They knew exactly what Jesus was claiming about himself, and listen to how they respond. Look at this, John chapter 8, verses 13 and 14. The Pharisees replied, you are making those claims about yourself. Such testimony is not valid. Jesus told them, these claims are valid, and even though I make them about myself, for I know where I came from and where I am going. But you don't know this about me. So the Pharisees challenged Jesus on a legal footing. Here's what they essentially said. You can't make these claims about yourself because you have no witnesses to back you up. This wouldn't even be permissible in court. You have no witnesses to back you up. And Jesus basically says, if you knew who I was, if you understood who I really was, the Son of God, you would know exactly who backs me up. You would know my Father in heaven is the one who has my back. You don't even know who I really am. Here's the point. Light is self-evident. It attests to its own presence. This is what Jesus was saying when he claimed to be the light. He was saying it's self-evident. I attest to my own presence. Think about it. When light is present, it reveals itself. You don't have to explain it. If you walk into a room that's dark and somebody turns on a light, it's self-evident. It reveals itself. Nobody has to argue with whether the light is there. It's just there. It reveals itself. So if you're trying to make your mind up about Jesus, you have to look at his life. You have to look at his teaching and the life that he lived, and you have to decide, was he who he claimed to be? A few months ago, I was flying back from Dublin, Ireland. I was over there for the ARC conference. So many of you know that our church is part of a network called ARC, and we're helping plant life-giving churches all around our nation and around the world. And I was there with leaders gathered from all over Europe, and God's been opening some doors for our church to help support some European church plants. And I was flying back after a busy weekend with a conference and preaching for a church over there. And I was sitting on the plane next to this guy, and I was just getting ready to put my AirPods in to watch a movie or maybe fall asleep. You know, I am not that guy who's going to talk next to you when I'm sitting next to you on the flight. I'm friendly. Y'all know me. I hug babies and shake hands, and I'm a friendly guy. But I've been in New York for 10 years. I am perfectly capable of sitting next to someone that I don't know and not talking to them, right? You do it on the subway and on the train to Grand Central all the time. You know what I'm talking about. So I'm not that guy who's got to talk to you on the plane. But this guy, he started talking to me a little bit, and it turns out he was from Ireland, but he's lived in New York for several years. And finally he asked me, what were you doing in Ireland? And I said, oh, well, I'm coming back from a pastor's conference. And he goes, oh, he goes, well, I'm agnostic. And he almost said it like he was apologizing to me right away, like, I'm sorry that the preacher got stuck sitting next to the agnostic. And I'm kind of like, oh, okay, good for you, man. You know, like, seriously, don't judge me. I'm getting ready to put my AirPods in. Like, I am not that pastor who feels the pressure to convert everybody that I'm sitting next to on a plane, okay? But then he goes, but I could be convinced. And I'm like, okay, Holy Spirit, turn myself in, right? So I was like, so we're about to do this, aren't we? Now, the good thing was, it wasn't like contentious. There was no debate. You know, he wasn't like, where are the dinosaurs in the Bible? Hello, you know, nothing like that. He just started asking me questions, and I was giving him book recommendations, and he just kept asking question after question. And finally, at one point in time, I said, listen, man, if you want to explore Christianity, you got to start with Jesus. You got to explore his life and his teachings and his miracles and his self-sacrificial death. And I said, man, all I can tell you is I find Jesus compelling. Everybody needs a way. Everybody needs a path in this life. And I just find the way of Jesus compelling. You know, I just find generosity more compelling than materialism. I just find Jesus' message of forgiveness more compelling than bitterness and unforgiveness. I just find Jesus' message of self-sacrificial love more compelling than selfishness, the selfishness of this culture. And so you gotta read his word. You gotta read what he said about himself. Listen to me, can I just encourage you today? If you are seeking spiritual truth, if you are investigating faith, start with Jesus. Spend time in the Gospels, read his words, encounter his life, encounter his miracles, encounter his self-sacrificial death on the cross. And if you are a follower of Jesus, can I just encourage you today, when you have opportunities to share your faith, you don't have to have all of the answers. I've been to Bible college and seminary, and I don't have all the answers. All you have to do is point people to Jesus. Point people to Jesus. Here's the reality. Everybody's looking for a way to orient their lives. Everybody's looking for a path, whether they realize it or not. For many people, they're worshiping money. They're worshiping sex. They're worshiping status. Everybody's orienting their life around something to give them meaning. You and me, we've just found that meaning in Jesus Christ. So you don't have to have all the answers. Just point people to Jesus. Now, we already know that light was a powerful symbol for the Jewish people who Jesus was interacting with. We've talked about the symbolism here, but I want to explore this metaphor a little bit further because I think there's a lot of really great meaning in this metaphor of Jesus being the light. So I want to talk about three things that light gives to us, three things that light gives to us. Number one, light gives us direction. Come on, everybody say direction. Light gives us direction. How many of you know a little bit of light makes a big difference? especially when you're in a dark place, a little bit of light makes a big difference. So in my bedroom, we have an air purifier, and that air purifier has a little blue light on the top of it. And when I get up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom, yep, I'm going there again, that little blue light is the light that keeps me from stumbling and stubbing my toe when I'm half awake trying to find my way to the bathroom. A little bit of light gives a lot of direction. That's what light does for us. It helps us because without it, we lose our way. If you've ever been out camping, if you've ever been somewhere where it was really dark, I mean, can't see your hand in front of your face dark, you know how much a flashlight makes a difference because we can drift when we can't see where we're going. And the same thing happens to us in life. We drift, don't we? We so often find ourselves drifting. Did you ever come to a place in life where you're like, how did we end up here? How did I end up here? Like, how did my marriage get to this place where it's so broken? How did my finances get in this place? How did I allow my health to get it? How did I get so out of shape? How did my heart get in this condition where my heart is so full of unforgiveness and bitterness that it's not open to anyone? This is what happens to us. We lose our way. And here's what Jesus said in John chapter 8, verse 12. When he spoke again to the people, he said, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And then in John chapter 12, verse 35, he said, walk in the light while you can, so the darkness will not overtake you. Those who walk in the darkness cannot see where they are going. So Jesus says, if you follow me, you won't walk in darkness. All throughout the Gospels, we see Jesus inviting people to follow him out of the darkness. And I know this still happens today. I have people come to me all the time to ask for direction. Pastor, pray for me. Pray for me. I feel lost right now. I'm in this broken relationship. I've relapsed back into addiction. I'm carrying all this hurt and unforgiveness from my childhood. I just have a sense of purposelessness right now. I don't know what I'm supposed to do with my life and my career. Pray for me. There's a sense of drifting, a sense of being lost. And I know because I can experience it for myself, how easily we can drift, how easily we can be influenced by the values of the fallen culture that we're living in. We have to continually come back to Jesus, who is the light, who gives us direction. Because whoever walks with him doesn't walk in darkness. He came. Jesus came as a light to show us the way out of darkness. And so here's the question for you today, church. Like, where has there been darkness and confusion and lack of clarity in your life? Jesus says, follow me. Follow me, and I can give you direction. I can show you the way. What does light give to us? Number two, light gives us hope. Light gives us hope. You know, doctors and psychologists, they tell us that there's a strong connection between sunlight and our mental health. How many of you know that's true? Like, we need sunshine. I'm so thankful, even in the middle of winter, for a beautiful sunshiny day like we're having today. It just lifts my spirits. How many of you experience the winter blues every now and then? Anybody like me, when it gets gray too many days in a row, you're like, get me on a plane and get me to the Caribbean. Come on. Some of y'all, hallelujah. Some of y'all are fresh off a winter break. We see your tan. Thank you. You look good. We're jealous of you because I didn't get to go. Actually, I'm going to Florida today. Hallelujah. Amy and I are involved in a leadership network, so we're in Florida at least twice a year, so we'll be down there for our pastor's gathering, flying out today. And I have a story about that, actually. So a couple years ago, I got the winter blues, and I was heading down to Florida because usually Florida is the cure for my winter blues, right? I'm going to go get a couple days of sunshine. I'm going to get back, and I'm going to persevere and get through winter, and I'm going to be all right. So Amy and I went to Florida, had a great time. But the day we were flying back to New York, it was like the crappiest, rainiest, nastiest day outside, like so depressing. We were flying back in, and it was just depressing. It was like not the kind of day you want to fly back into. And then we flew into the old terminal, the Delta terminal at LaGuardia, that's still under construction, not the nice new shiny part. And so it was just like the worst day to come back, and I just felt so depressed. It was so nasty outside. And then we went to Buffalo, New York a couple weeks after that. So we went to Buffalo to visit family, and I was preaching for Pastor Mark Rouse, who's one of our overseers. He preaches here once a year. And listen, I lived in Buffalo for 6 years, and my mother-in-law's here somewhere today. I'm going to get in trouble for this, but I forgot how much it snows there. I mean, it just snowed nonstop for days. The sun didn't come out. I was losing hope. I was like, I got to get out of here, right? And when we got back downstate, when we got back to Westchester, the sun was out. The birds were singing. I was like kissing the ground. So happy to be back in Westchester. Listen to me. Winter may be bad here, but at least we have sunshine. It gives you hope. Gives you hope. Now, back to our story for just a moment, okay? Back to our text. The Jewish people were living in dark times. Here they were, the people of God, who had the promises of God that God was going to bless them, make them into a great nation, and yet they were subjects of the Roman Empire. They were a conquered people living under the reign of a pagan Roman Empire. And so when they gathered at the temple to celebrate the Feast of Tabernacles and light up those lamps at the temple, they were reminding themselves to hold on to hope, the hope that God had not forgotten them, the hope that God had not forgotten his people, and that one day he would restore them. One day he would send the Messiah. He would send the Savior who would deliver his people. And Jesus stands before the people in the middle of this celebration. He says, I am the light. I am the embodiment of the hope that you have been longing for. Look at this again, John chapter 8, verse 12. Whoever follows me will never walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. Will have the light of life. Jesus is the light that leads to life. When you follow his teachings, when you experience his grace, his forgiveness, his mercy, his love, his presence in your life, when you receive the gift of his Holy Spirit, it fills you with new life and it fills you with new hope. Oh, think about it this way. Jesus is like a lighthouse. He's like a lighthouse. What does a lighthouse do? A lighthouse is there to help guide ships safely into harbor. Think about a ship that's been out at sea, maybe on a dark night or in stormy seas, and they find that lighthouse. That lighthouse is a symbol of hope, saying to you, like, you're almost home. You're almost here. Church, here's what I want you to know. Jesus is the lighthouse. He's the lighthouse of our lives when you're feeling lost at sea. And so if you're feeling hopeless right now, here's what we want you to know. There is hope in Jesus Christ. There is new life in Jesus Christ. Listen to me. You are surrounded by people in this room who have experienced the hope of Jesus Christ. I can attest to it because I'm one of them. There have been so many times when I felt hopeless that the light of Jesus lifted me out of my hopelessness. And so if you're here today, we would say, turn to Jesus. Look to Jesus. What does light give us? Light gives us, number three, clarity. Light gives us clarity. So this past fall, we had an infestation of yellow jackets at the Ziegler House. It's a lot of fun. In the fall, I noticed some yellow jackets swarming up at one of the tallest peaks of my house in a spot that wasn't very easy to get to. There was a little tiny piece of fascia that was missing, and I noticed some yellow jackets swarming up there and figured they were building a nest. But I had a really busy fall. I was traveling and, of course, church and life and all that we have going on with kids and all. And not to mention the fact that it was a really kind of out-of-the-way spot in my house, not easy to get to. I just didn't deal with it. And also, when it got to winter, I had Googled that winter usually kills yellow jackets. So I figured, hey, winter will just take care of them. But how many of you know when you don't deal with a problem like that, it only gets worse? Well, eventually, we started getting like 20 yellow jackets a day inside the house. They were all coming into the bathroom through this vent that leads up to the attic. And so, you know, we're killing yellow jackets, and I'm spraying and trying to find out where they are in the attic. And eventually, I finally called a pest control guy. I'm like most guys. I did everything myself before I had to call somebody for help. But I finally had to call a pest control guy. And you know they're going to charge you an arm and a leg, right? Well, that's what happened. He came to our house, and here's what he did. He went up in the attic, just like I've been going up in the attic, and within 30 seconds, he shined the light right on the yellow jacket nest, and he goes, there's your problem right there. I had been up there trying to kill the yellow jackets, trying to figure out how they were getting in the house, and he knew right where to look to find that nest. It was right at the roof line, right in the middle of the insulation there, and it would be easy to miss. And what did he do? He shined a light into that dark place, and it brought clarity. Here's the point. Light gives us clarity by exposing what's in the dark. That's what it does. That's what the light of Jesus Christ does. It exposes the dark places in our hearts so that we can see our sin and brokenness for what it is. See, sin grows in the dark. Just like a yellow jacket nest that grows in the dark in the attic, sin will grow in your heart. It's defeated when you bring it out into the light. It's been said that you're only as sick as your secrets. And this is what Jesus wants to do. He wants to bring our what's broken about us into the light so that we can deal with it and be forgiven and be set free. It's so interesting that right before Jesus speaks what we're reading today about him being the light of the world in John chapter 8, that there's actually a famous story in the preceding verses. I would encourage you to go read John chapter 8 for yourself this week. In John chapter 8, verse 1 through 11, there's a famous story, the story of the woman caught in adultery. Some of you will be familiar with this story. So in this story, the Pharisees are trying to discredit Jesus. You know, they got a beef with Jesus and they want to make him look bad. And they bring this woman to Jesus who was caught in the very act of adultery. And of course, the whole situation is loaded and unfair because the man who's involved in the situation isn't brought to Jesus. But they bring this woman to him and they say, Jesus, the Old Testament law says that this woman should be stoned to death for her sin. What do you say we should do? Now, scholars tell us that very few people were actually ever stoned to death, even for the sin of adultery. But they know that if Jesus doesn't uphold the law, he's going to be discredited. But how many of you know you shouldn't mess with Jesus? Come on, Jesus will outsmart you every time. He's sneaky Jedi Master Jesus. Be careful when you try to trap Jesus. And so here's what Jesus says. He replies with such a brilliant question. He says, whoever's without sin, throw the first stone. And one by one, these men are shamed in their self-righteousness, and they walk away. And you can kind of picture like almost hearing the stones being dropped as they walk away. And Jesus goes to this woman and says, does anybody condemn you? And she says, no, my Lord. And he says, neither do I. And go and leave your life of sin. Now, this is an amazing story about grace, but it's also a story about exposure. We're talking about how light brings clarity into our lives. It exposes what's dark in our lives. Here was a woman who had sinned privately, but she was being exposed for her sin publicly. And as the Pharisees are trying to expose this woman's sin, Jesus in turn exposes their hypocrisy. How many of you know it's a lot easier to point out other people's sins, but at some point in time, your sins will be exposed. Be careful who you throw stones at. Be careful who you point fingers at, because everything in the dark will eventually be dragged into the light. Jesus' light exposes our sins. Let me tell you, if you endeavor to follow Jesus, at some point in time, he will turn the searchlight of heaven on your heart and cause you to deal with what is broken about you, what is sinful about you. He will reveal it to you. He will reveal the yellow jacket nest that has been growing in a dark place in your heart. Why? Not so he can condemn you, but so that he can invite you into his grace, in his mercy, and to forgive you. This is who he is. This is who he is. Let me just give you one final analogy about the light, about sunshine. You know, think about sunshine for just a moment. Sunshine is vital, right? It is both life-giving, and yet it's also lethal if you think about it. Think about it. We need sunshine to survive. The sun warms our planet. It gives life to our planet. There would be no food chain without the sunlight. Plants need sunlight to do photosynthesis, right? So they can be plants, and then animals eat the plants. And I'm not vegan. I need the animals to eat the plants so I can eat the animals. Can I get an amen, somebody? This is how the food chain works, okay? Without sunlight, like there's no, we die. We need the sun. But at the same time, the sun is lethal. If we didn't have the Earth's atmosphere, we would die. The Earth's atmosphere, it protects us from the ultraviolet, harmful light of the sun. Think about it. When you go to the beach, for those of you, once again, who are fresh off of your vacation, when you go to the beach, the sun is wonderful, but you have to put sunscreen on because you can get a sunburn. And if you get sunburned year after year after year, you can end up having cancer and you can die from it. Think about this. Even to watch a solar eclipse, what do you have to do? You have to have special shades on because the sunlight can burn the retina of your eyes. I remember a few years ago, we were on vacation in Rhode Island. We were on the beach, and there was a solar eclipse, and people were passing around these special shades so we could watch it. That's my whole point. It is both sunlight, is both life-giving and yet overwhelming, and the same is true of God. When he appears in the Old Testament, his glory is too great. Open up the Old Testament and read. Like, no one can withstand his presence. Often when people encounter God, they realize how sinful they are compared to a righteous God, and they feel like they're about to die. They fear dying. You think you would like to meet God in that way? Read the Old Testament. Most people who meet God, they sense how sinful they are compared to a holy God, and they literally fear dying. See, as sinful beings, you and I, we need a way of relating to a holy and righteous God. And Jesus makes it possible for us to receive light and to experience the glory of God. Why? Because he wraps divinity in flesh so that we can experience God, so that we can know him. Look at what John said in John chapter 1, verses 4 through 5, and then we'll skip to verse 14. He said this, the Word, which is just a theological way of referring to Jesus Christ, the Word gave life to everything that was created, and his life brought light to everyone. The light shines in the darkness, and the darkness can never extinguish it. Then verse 14, the Word became flesh and made his dwelling among us. We have seen his glory, the glory of the one and only Son who came from the Father, full of grace and truth. That's who Jesus is. He wraps divinity in flesh. He is God who came to us in flesh and blood so that we could have a relationship with a holy and righteous God who we could never know in our sinful condition. Jesus comes full of truth. He exposes our sin and he calls it like it is. He takes away the excuses. We love to excuse our sin away. We love to blame other people. We love to hide it, make excuses for it. Jesus shines the light on it. He comes full of truth, but he also comes full of grace. He lived the sinless life that you and I could never live. He went to the cross to pay for your sins that you could never make up for. When Jesus meets this adulterous woman, he led with grace, but he brought her to truth. And that's what he does for you and me. Think about it. He led with grace. He says, does anyone condemn you? Neither do I. That's grace. But then what does he do? He says, now go and leave your life of sin. He gets her to truth. That's what he does in our lives. When he encounters you and me in the midst of our sins, in the midst of our imperfections and our brokenness, and he gives us his grace. When we encounter his love and his mercy and his goodness, when we encounter the truth of his self-sacrificial love, that instead of condemning us, he allowed himself to be condemned. He went to the cross in our place. It's that truth that changes our hearts. And it changes us from the inside out. And then we can see the light of his truth and long for it. Jesus says, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will walk in the light. Jesus says, I will show you the way forward. I will show you the way out of darkness. You're in a dark place and you need a light. You need a way out. Follow me. See, there's one thing that we all have in common in this room today. No matter where you are in your spiritual journey, we all go through seasons of darkness. We all do. We experience depression. We experience sickness. We experience loss. We experience spiritual darkness. Every one of us, we know the darkness of our sins. There are things that are broken about us that we cannot fix for ourselves. And Jesus came as a light to show us the way. The world didn't need another great teacher. The world didn't just need another great philosopher. No, the world needed a savior. And Jesus came to be the light of the world. Listen to me, the only way to get out of your darkness is to follow somebody who has more light than you. Think about it. You're out camping in the dark in the middle of some place in the woods and you don't have a light. The only way to get out of that situation is to follow the guy who has more light than you. Jesus says, I am that person. Follow me. I am the light of the world. Follow me. Can we just turn our hearts to him today? Can we just turn our face to him today in a moment of prayer? Come on, let's go to him today. Father, we thank you today for your word. God, we thank you for your son. We thank you that you wrapped divinity in flesh when you gave us the gift of your son, Jesus Christ, who comes to us as the light of the world. And Lord, today we're praying that you would help us to see you that way. In a world with so many voices, in a world with so many competing truths, in a world where everybody's trying to tell us how to live our best life, Jesus, help us to turn our eyes back to you, to give us direction. I'm praying for the person right now in this room who feels lost, the person in this room right now who's been stumbling around in life and they need direction, that we would turn our eyes to you, Jesus. Lord, that you would give us hope. I'm praying for the person in this room, the person tuned in online who's feeling hopeless right now. Thank you that, Jesus, you are the lighthouse when we're in the stormy seas of life and you give us hope. You restore our hope. Lord, we're inviting you to expose in us what needs to be exposed, that you would turn the searchlight of heaven on our hearts, that we would deal with our sinfulness so that we might experience your grace and your mercy and your goodness afresh in our lives. We want to follow you. And now as we're praying today, I want to pray for the person in this room who would say, Pastor, that's me. I feel lost in this life. I feel hopeless in this life. I'm in one of those seasons where I don't even know how I got here, and I feel so far away from God. And I would love to have the kind of relationship with Him that you're describing. I would love to experience that grace and that mercy. If that's you today, we believe God is drawing you to Himself by His Spirit. And Jesus would say to you, you need a light. You need someone to follow. And I am that person. He's inviting you to follow Him. And today you can say yes to Him. Today is your day. You can say yes to Jesus. So I invite you to pray with me right where you are, online, in person. Just say, Jesus, I give you my yes. I want to follow you. Just pray this with me. I want to follow you. I believe you are who you said you are, the light of the world. And I admit I'm in a dark place. I admit I need direction. I need hope. And I'm placing my faith in you. I believe you are the Son of God, that you lived perfect life on my behalf, and you went to the cross for my sins, and you are resurrected to give me new life. And I want to follow you today out of my darkness. Father, I thank you for every person who prayed that prayer today. Lord, I thank you for your word that says if we confess our sins, you're faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. God, we thank you today. We thank you for your Son. We thank you, Lord, that you are a light in our lives, and we give you praise in Jesus' name.
Thanks for listening to today's message. If you'd like more information about our church, visit us online at redemptioncommunitychurch.org or follow us on social media.